You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another lovely day, and for all of you out there, the clock is ticking, and I'd like to invite all of you to run outside right quick and take a deep breath of fresh air while you can, because as you know, the honey wagons are coming. Yay! And the honey wagons are brought to you by Mr. Mufi Hanneman, the man who they say is standing good and pretty and tall for our new congressman position that's open here if he elects to run. So let's hear it again for the honey wagons and all of those. Let me send out a shout out to all of those naive politicians who now are complaining, the quote legislators, who haven't been listening at all, and who's not angry that we wasted some $35 million at Cinegro, and won't talk about that, but they're worried about the smell. So I guess the best way to deal with a politician is to give them a bad smell, a stiff smell of you-know-what, and they get riled up, folks. So anyway, keep on trucking, and I think it's appropriate. And for all of you, just remember, when Mr. Hanneman and the likes of him stand up and say, vote for me, just remember the honey wagons. Enough said. So anyway, today I have again, Pam Davis is with me, and she's so thorough and all of that, and I enjoy, and everyone just absolutely loves her comments, and I do too, because she's quite knowledgeable and has quite a bit of background and research and what have you. So, but we're going to be talking today about the issue of trap, neuter, release of cats and how it's being impacted. There's a program that is carried on by the Hawaiian Humane Society, and it is a TNR, trap, neuter, release, and there's been an increase, a proposed increase, so I guess it'll be active on August 1st of this year. And a great many of you called me and talked about it and asked, could we discuss it? And so I felt, because Pam is with the Animal Advocate, Inc., she's the founder and the president of it, and always advocating for animals. And so I just thought we'd take that up, and if you have any comments or questions, 524-1080, 524-1080. So anyway, good morning, Pam, and how are you? Thank you for joining me again.
Thank you, Carol, for having me on your show.
Yeah, so what is going on here? There's a proposal. Like, I participate in the trap neuter release. I don't think it's a secret. I've talked about it, and I'm an environmentalist, the reason I got involved is nobody's doing anything. You know, you get the people at the alien species, they get the $5 million, and you can't get them to respond and make a phone call. So my goal was to just get involved and do something rather than sit back and go, wow, there's cats out here in the wild. So I aggressively and participate in this, and I'm thankful that people have shown me rather than driving by and go, people are feeding cats and people are banning cats, and I don't participate and try to do something. So that TNR, for me, it satisfies that portion of me that want to do something. It's not the solution and the fix to everything, but that's me on the periphery. There are soldiers out there, and I'll describe them as soldiers or night watchers.
Yes.
Who carry the brunt and the load on their shoulders. And so we're going to talk about that. So go ahead and let's start running.
Well, I guess the issue came up that the Humane Society, the feral cat caretakers who implement the trap, neuter, release, or TNR program, rely on the Humane Society to do the sterilizations. And they also provide traps. In the past, they've provided a lot of traps so that these caretakers can actually trap the cats and then bring them in to the Humane Society and have them sterilized. And once the cats have been sterilized, the cat colony will just gradually disappear through attrition. The older animals will die, and they're well cared for. They're fed and given water every day. Veterinary care is provided when needed. And then when the animals get old, they'll pass away, and of course no new animals are being born because they've been sterilized. But the problem arose that where this used to cost people $5 per cat, now all of a sudden, as of August 1st, it's going up to $25 per cat. And many people out there, I don't think people realize how expensive it is to care for cats in colonies. It's very expensive to buy the food, the veterinary care, etc. So that can really put a huge burden on someone, and we're afraid it will result in a cat overpopulation.
Or a problem that's already out there. It'll become even bigger.
Right,
and
exactly.
That the people out that are doing this, they're not trying to farm cats and because they love them and have a cattery, so to speak, with no boundaries or no fence. They don't see the world as being a place where cats should be able to freely roam. It's they're responding to a problem. When you see a colony, let's say, affected with URI, upper respiratory, infections, terrible. I mean, those are some of the things that I saw, And I'm thinking, well, you know, as an environmentalist, oh, you know, they eat birds and they kill this and they kill that. And they do eat birds, cat eat birds, and they kill birds. But here's the problem. In the interim, human beings also are responsible for them being there. Whether you decide to move or you get a divorce or the cat can't be housed anymore and it's expensive to house them, so a lot of people abandon them. Some cats just stray off and wander off on their own. And then there's the irresponsible person who won't neuter or spay.
And I think human beings are responsible for the deaths of many of our native birds, too, by constructing new subdivisions in areas that were formerly reserved, you know, for natural habitat. So I don't think you can blame the cats entirely.
Yeah, so what then happens is that you look at this and you hear, now I don't believe the cats, when they're around sanctuaries and what have you, there should be an intense management of them. But what's happening, there's a problem. And there are people out there that are spending hours and hours. And we're going to talk about, just for example, just to set up an appointment to participate in the spay neuter or the TNR or the trap neuter release. Or even if you didn't want to participate in the trap neuter release, if you saw a cat that you wanted and you wanted to trap it and then incorporate it, adopt it, the expense, the getting it down there, for example, if I want to make reservations, I have to call the first of every month to make a reservation for two cats. Then I make that reservation, and I'm hoping, and I have my, it's that Vegas moment, I have to feel lucky or I may not get in.
Right. They fill up very quickly. I guess they fill up that same day.
Mm-hmm. And so now, while it's the Humane Society is running this program, it speaks of a bigger issue, is that the city and county of Honolulu, our leaders here, are failed to be aggressive in allocating money and addressing it. And in fact, you tried to contact some of the city councilmen, council people, this occasion for this show, and did they respond to you?
No, they didn't. I wrote to them on July 6th and told them that we were concerned about the recent increases in the spay-neuter fees for the feral animals that was instituted by the Humane Society, and we asked them a series of questions, like, for example, were they, as city council members, informed of the increase?
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything they can do to reverse the increase? Things like that. Not one single city council person bothered to respond to us.
Well, they were busy with the honey wagons.
So, I guess so. Yeah.
But you know, the as I was saying about setting the appointment, so you set the appointment, and then that day comes, you got to go and trap the cat. But now, we have traps, personally, owned by us. But on the other hand, there are people that don't, and they have to make reservations for the trap. Then they have to put a deposit down, and it's a long wait. And we have, we'll go back and talk about this TNR program, about the Hawaiian Humane Society's, and we'll read some excerpts from their newsletter. And just to show that at one point it was free, and they were really aggressively participating in unobstructed access to this process. But as we've seen now over the couple of years, it's the cat caretaker, and we'll describe them as that, a colony caregivers or whatever you want to call them. They're the ones who taking the money out of their pocket, and they're the ones who's seeing the increase. So on your letter that you contacted the Humane Society, and also, if you would, give some of the where they had the 1994 stray cats responsible caretakers in society.
Yes. I'm sorry. Well, in 1994, the Hawaiian Humane Society newsletter had right on the front page, stray cats, responsible caretakers and the society work to limit unwanted litters. And it was like the flagship of their mm-hmm. program that they were instituting, and it was really going to help the feral cat population and the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened to that.
Well, I offer this because there's this bit of misinformation out there that there's a bunch of kooky, quacky people running around taking it up on themselves to initiate and the caregiving and the trap neuter. This was sanctioned and encouraged by the Hawaiian Humane Society because it was the least cruelest of the processes,
right,
than euthanizing piles and piles of cats.
Right. They say, actually, the stray cat population on Oahu is an island-wide tragedy. Some people feel there should be a large-scale roundup and euthanasia of thousands of stray cats, but this is not humane, mm-hmm, emotionally acceptable, or a practical solution. So they were 100% behind this program.
And encouraged it.
Oh, yes.
And then so then we moved to 2007, and you have that same, what are they saying there? They talk about it's titled Everyday Heroes of 2007. Cat caregivers are unsung champions.
Right, exactly. And they say without the compassionate and dedicated colony caregivers, the population of street cats would be unmanageable.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that the program benefits everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's obvious that they realize the importance of this program that they establish.
Mm-hmm. So, in that article, it said, and this is their December of 2007 newsletter, and now reminding the listeners that these newsletters are more of a way of reaching out and showing your flagship projects and programs, and so that you can get donations to keep funding, and that's not criminal, and that's not anything. I'm not speaking ill of that, but it, for an example, people rose to the occasion and rallied around this effort, and because it was free, then it increased to $5, and the sterilization that became an issue about putting a microchip in. And it says here in their newsletter, the Humane Society newsletter of Hawaii, one cat and her offspring can produce 420,000 kittens in 7 years. So without compassionate and dedicated colony caregivers, the population of street cats would be unmanageable, as you've said earlier.
Right.
But that number that jumps out at you. And so the big question is, why then, if we have caused the people to rally around and those heroes,
The unsung heroes.
Who's out at night and risking, and a lot of them are women, and they're out there walking around at night, taking into the mountains and into the canyons on their own, and
dark warehouses, yeah, and all kinds of different places.
And they're being treated as a source of revenue, it appears.
Right.
And so, what is going on? I mean, how does one justify, and this would be the question for anybody, and we also have the same questions to the State Department of Land and Natural Resources, who ignored your calls, and we'll talk about them as well and your request for information. But let it come up to the alien species funding. Oh, they're out with posters, banners, and flyers. And if you call them up to speak about this subject, you're a kook. They treat you like you have a spear stuck through your forehead. And in turn, they're demonizing the people that participate in these programs, but they're doing nothing. Now, they trap around the refuge, but they say they have no jurisdiction in other places.
Yeah.
So we have a potential problem here, 420,000 kittens in 7 years from one cat.
Yes, one cat.
Why are we now changing and charging a $25? Would that...
Well, we asked them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We actually wrote to the Humane Society. We wrote to Pamela Burns, but we received a response from, I guess it's Jackie, J-A-C-Q-U-E.
So you received a response from the Humane Society.
We did, and we actually asked them why was the fee for spay-neuter raised and asked them to provide justifications, mm-hmm. their response was, and this is the complete response, "The downturned economy has required us to reevaluate all our programs and services funded completely by donations."
So they're saying that this program is strictly by donations funded, this trap, neuter, release program.
We also asked them, why was the fee raised to $25 specifically?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do you come up with 25?
Right.
You started with 5. Why 25?
Started free.
Well, yes, started free. So, you know, the answer, they didn't answer the question, but, mm-hmm. but the response was, the Humane Society's feral cat sterilization program is funded entirely by donations and has been part of our charity work to humanely reduce overpopulation of cats living on the streets. The $25 will help to cover the cost of surgery and care.
Mm-hmm.
So they really didn't answer the question of why they needed 25 specifically. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a flyer that they put out on January of 2010. And briefly, a feral cat sterilization program, in order to help reduce the overpopulation of feral cats, the Humane Society of Hawaii, Hawaiian Humane Society, I should say, provide free sterilization for colony cats fed and cared for and actively managed by registered cat owners. Now, there is a really interesting trick there, a process. The people really don't own the animals.
No, they're just caring for them.
And it's, as part of the requirement, they must now microchip them so that they can be contacted and told if the cat was hit by a car or if someone trapped it, took it in, or if you want to take it. And a lot of the times the cats get infected with eye problems or whatever, get sick, mm-hmm. or a dog attack them.
Mm-hmm.
And these people turn around and go and take money out of their pocket.
Oh, yes.
Because the interesting thing about it, because they are cat givers, remember, folks, here's the thing, and we don't know publicly, we don't know that just to simply take a cat in, they don't take that cat for free. You are likely to be charged, and then to put it down, you're likely to be charged to euthanize it. So we actually have this problem, and it's going to get worse with this. Now, they responded, the Humane Society of Hawaiian Humane Society responded by saying to your question about, and it mentioned something about other organizations are participating.
Yes. Let's see. We asked them if they were concerned about the impact on the feral cat population. Because of the fee increases.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the Humane Society's feral cat sterilization program is just one of many programs available in the community. Rescue groups offer sterilization programs. Individuals are taking personal responsibility to sterilize cats through community veterinarians.
Mm-hmm.
And that they could not speculate on how one program amongst many will affect cat overpopulation, but this is the program. This
mm-hmm.
isn't just one program among many. I mean, this is the flagship program.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to share with the listeners out there, in reality, the phone should be ringing off the hooks right here in this station right now, and it's not because this is a dull subject or boring or what have you. I got to disclose that several of them contacted me, and I know that they don't want to speak publicly on this issue because they will be ostracized from the program.
Yes.
Now, as small of and minuscule amount that they are contributing as far as trapping the cats and taking them and having them neutered, if they're found to speak out, don't have to speak ill of this project or ill of the Hawaiian Humane Society or anything. They will be ostracized. You can't support someone that has an issue with openly, in their minds, against the Humane Society because they will not be allowed to go. So it's a shameful act in this climate. So, you know, many of them did, in fact, when I told them I would be discussing this, and it's very frightening and telling that some of them are afraid to even call up because they think that people will recognize their voices.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
kind of crazy.
Ban them from, and there are people that we know that were banned because
yes.
they stood up and protested and exercised their civil rights to speak out.
Yes, we know people who have been prohibited from even setting foot now on the Humane Society property.
Right.
Because of that.
Again, back to the what they say about other organizations. What did they say? Other organizations? I don't have it in front of me.
Rescue groups offer sterilization programs. Individuals are taking personal responsibility to sterilize cats, and that they can't speculate on how one program amongst many will affect overpopulation.
Right, and so what many? I mean, and the one party that did, in fact, have a program, Jennifer Kishimori?
Yes.
She has a program and doing very well, and I think they do 20, 30 cats a weekend whenever they have these clinics that they have set up.
Mm-hmm.
She's banned from there.
Yes.
Now, I was wondering, well, that's the only one that I know of that openly allow the public to come in. So if that's the case, then who are they referring to other organizations that spay neuter?
I don't
know. Because if they won't let her come on the property and won't speak to her, then who are they didn't consult her.
I don't know who they're speaking about. They don't say.
And again, this isn't to throw rocks at the Hawaiian Humane Society, but when you look back and you see that they shepherded and nurtured this program and got people involved, and then there was really no smooth transition because, for example, I found out about the increase when I called up the first of the month this month to make reservation. And then I'm told at the end of the conversations, oh, by the way, you know that the price is going to go up to $25. Well, my organization, EnviroWatch, we don't have a lot of money, but we participate in this because we got to do something. I mean, I'm not going to run around and join the forces and with the government and say, oh, they cause toxoplasmosis. Oh, their disease and their fecal matter is in the parks. That's where the government stops. And then there's Michael Clicks who go around and every once in a while he figure he needs to tickle the underbelly of these yellow-bellied sapsuckers who will stand there and throw rocks at the caregivers who's risking their lives and spending their money, won't even respond to a phone call to them, but a guy like Michael Clicks can call up and have the whole intellectual group dancing to his beat. And then immediately, you know, it'll be the city council, it'll be the Department of Land and Natural Resources, Land Board, it'll be the Forest and Wildlife. And again, I want people to hear me right. Cats in a colony of birds, and we have ground nesters, and cats kill birds. But to stand there and tell us that scientifically and then turn around and walk away and don't participate and don't do anything but scrutinize and chastise those caregivers, you're reckless. You know, as an agency, as a party who's responsible for scientifically managing these resources, it's one thing to be critical. It's another thing, what are you doing about it?
Well, that's what TNR is. It's a very effective management tool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it was adopted by the Humane Society. They realized that it was a good thing and mm-hmm. that it was going to really help. It's interesting, though, because I'm thinking that the Humane Society actually did consider eliminating the program altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Because in her response, Jackie of the Humane Society said, rather than eliminate the program altogether, we have decided to increase the fee as we believe it's extremely valuable to the animals and the community. So I guess people should be counting their lucky stars that the program wasn't just completely eliminated.
Yeah, and it's a drop in the bucket when you figure the potential, as they've described, what one cat can produce. But here are some of the highlights of this program. This is straight from the Hawaiian Humane Society's form, highlights of this program. All participants must complete and sign a feral cat sterilization agreement. Cats must be in a wire live animal trap or in a transfer cage. Only one cat per trap or cage is allowed. Cats must be dropped off after 10 p.m. the day before surgery or before 8 a.m. on the day of surgery. So if I'm trapping in Haleiwa, I have to come in and drop it off after 10 p.m.
Right.
One cat now, because I may have made an appointment, gotten lucky enough to have two. So then I must be in there before or after 10 p.m. Now, a lot of the people that are doing this are senior citizens and women, right? And so I get in before or after 10 p.m., and I might arrive there, and the doors may be closed and locked because the duty officer that night had to go to the airport, had an emergency. So you might end up sitting in the yard for 3, 4, 5 hours.
Right.
They or longer.
Restricted the hours tremendously.
Yeah, and they're saying this is part of the you know, so something doesn't, when you marry it all up, something isn't
right.
Reasonable. Something's wrong here, you know. And cats can be picked up after 6 p.m., but no later than 11 p.m., the day of surgery. And then they charge you to store that cat or to house that cat, by the way, folks. And then it's $2.50 and what have you. Good morning. Call, a comment, or question? Hello? Somebody's being catty. But anyway, call back if you have anything you'd like to talk about. 524-1080. Again, have Pam Davis here with me talking about the sterilization program or the TNR, trap, neuter, release program. But again, all fees are due at the time of the admittance. Surgery and microchip is $5. Additional fees will be assessed for animals left in our care pre- and post-surgery beyond the specified time limits. Early drop-off anytime before 10 p.m. the day before the scheduled surgery is $20. Late pickup anytime 11 p.m., $20. And so while this program is being touted and it was in as a flagship project of theirs, no one get to see that it's so restrictive and the constraints are almost prohibitive in really seeing this program increase or work. Good morning, call. A comment, a question?
It's more of a comment in regards to like how to get the news out in regards to what the TNRM people are doing out in the community.
Okay.
You know, perhaps there has to be more of a effort to really get this publicized because I did not know much about the TNMR process until I got involved and discussed it with some people who were involved. And a lot of it is just basically, I think, getting the word out and publicizing what they're doing and how people can really help.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just my take on it. I mean, there's probably a lot of other issues involved as to why people are not embracing this, but I believe it's because we need to better publicize what's going on.
Right.
We need the help of the media. I mean, that's just, I mean, I'm looking at it from the 30,000-foot the elevation, and you know, there's a lot more to be done. But again, publicizing the cause, I think, is important.
Well, we'll try that, and maybe we'll put together a little piece.
Well,
here.
Media, maybe yeah. Like if you can gather a group of people together, and hopefully they all work together, and just have a media committee
mm-hmm.
who can actually work together and approach the media, whether you print, whether it be you know radio stations, whether it be TV stations, whatever the case may be, the Petui. There's a thing called OC-16, Petui, but it's got to be a well-coordinated effort and not individuals basically going out on their own and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a concerted effort. There's got to be some sort of, you know, a coordinated effort, strategy involved.
Well,
people got to band together.
CarolCox.com. Carol, send me some ideas and I'll share them with the people. You're right, and it needs to be because the program is, you know, I'm going to tell you, when I first heard of it, I thought it was the most insane thing that you could do is to go out there and trap cats and take them back and release them. But then I learned that they don't kill every cat. The government doesn't kill it. They just sit and complain, right? They don't do anything, and the population grows and the illnesses and what have you. So I had to get involved myself. And by the way, just for myself, I know several lawyers, several engineers, and professional people that know that there is a problem and recognize it, and they've gotten involved.
Yeah, I think Chief Justice Ronald Boone has been involved,
mm-hmm.
and has recognized some of the feral cat caretakers.
And you know what we need to do is really to rally these folks together, because they all want to help, but we need to pull them all together. And if we can get them all on the same page and coordinate, again, our efforts and strategize, I think we could do some good, but we got to, you know, really commit to doing it.
Well, they are committed. It's just, again, if we can get rid of that element of fear, too. Let's not fool ourselves. That's what a lot of them are concerned, because the little bit of participation that they have right now, that could be taken away in one simple letter. You're not allowed on our property. So we got to, you know, if we could get past that, I'm sure and assure people that there is no retaliation. But you are right, 100%.
Is there someone at the Humane Society, and I'm serious about this, is there an individual who's pulling the strings to initiate this ban on these folks, or is it really under the auspices of the board of directors at the Hawaii Humane Society to ban these? I mean, who is actually pulling that string, pushing that button to get that ban initiated?
I don't know. Maybe I can ask questions, but that is a good question. I don't know.
Because I'm concerned that you could have someone who has their own agenda out there and has their own perception as to how to deal with a rabble-rouser.
Uh-huh.
And they're doing this arbitrarily without even the folks on the board at the Hawaii Humane Society being aware that, is this what we're doing? We're sending the wrong message. We could get hurt in donations, because if this thing gets out saying, hey, this is what's happening, we're being basically run by an individual who's running a dictatorship at the HHS,
mm-hmm.
to ban people. Well, I don't want to donate my funds there. I want to donate to another cause that will embrace what I want to do to help the feral population.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just concerned about that. It seems very odd that, you know, HHS and the individual who may have, or the group who has responded back to inquiries, are maybe not communicating this to the right people within HHS, so actually know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering. I'm just throwing that out. That could be happening also.
Well, those are some interesting questions. We'll pursue them, and I think there's several veterinarians that give their lifeblood to this too, privately.
I know.
And there's Dr. Jill Vokes out in Mililani who tirelessly participated in this, and I'm sure she could take on the same attitude of making a lot of money and charge people for walking up their driveway or whatever, or at her office, but they don't. And there are many other groups, Cat Friends, or I don't know the name of it.
I think Dr. Sabina DiGiacomo
Animal
does,
Care Foundation.
Yes, she does sterilization.
But again, as this gentleman is saying, you know, it is a problem, and you're right, and hopefully the reason we want to air this is that maybe they will rethink and be more aggressive, but also asking, and here's why I think they owe it to the public, because, and I'll just lay it out, they get to lease that land for little of nothing, like a dollar for, they just had their renewal resolution, City and Council Resolution 10-262 CD1, urging the administration to award a new lease for the certain parcel of land situated at Kamoilili, Honolulu. So it's for 55 years, and that in itself should be one of the reasons that this program should be flourishing, opposed to being constrained, placed on it and restricted. But anyway, call if you would, if you have any other, send me an email, and I'll keep you anonymous if you desire. And I would definitely try and move and encourage some of the people to get out and do something.
Now, the email address that we should be communicating to, could you kind of like give it over the air, so I guess most people who may want to participate?
Carol, CARROLL, @carolcox.com.
Okay, carolcox.com. Okay,
right.
Got it.
And the website is carolcox.com. So if you can't find it, the email will forget it. Just go carolcox.com.
You got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
I agree with that caller that that it should be more publicized. You know, I used to watch City Council at the beginning of their meetings. They would have these things where they would recognize people from the community,
mm-hmm.
people who, I don't know, won baseball games or did this or did that or rescued someone from a fire. All of those things are good. But I always wondered, you know, why couldn't they ever take it upon themselves to congratulate the feral cat givers and say, you know, these people are really providing a valuable service to the community as a whole.
Mm-hmm. And they have said that. I mean, in their newsletters.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was talking about the City Council. They don't recognize these people. They could. Now, maybe the Humane Society should initiate that and tell the City Council that they should recognize these people.
Or ask, yeah, maybe you know. They do. They seem to have ownership of some of the council people, because whoever put that, to get that lease in and then talk names specifically to the Humane Society, Hawaiian Humane Society. Good morning. Call, a comment, a question?
Actually, I have some comments. One, I'm a caregiver. I'm on my own, and it cost me. I basically work for the cats.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree completely with everything you're saying. And this fee that's going to $25, you know, they told me that it's their annual fiscal year, the start of their annual fiscal year. They looked at the costs, and it's just they bring in way too many cats that they can't afford it. But the other thing I wanted to say is, you know, Pam is saying that she's not hearing anything from the council. Well, I ran into a situation with Miss Ann Kobayashi where she actually wrote a letter to the president of my company, the top guy, telling him that I'm feeding cats out on one of the streets, and her constituent was complaining, and asked him to take whatever means necessary to get me to stop.
Now,
wow.
Let me get this right now, because I'm from Mississippi and I speak funny and I listen funny. We hear you a little different. So you're saying that City Councilwoman Ann Kobayashi wrote your office, your place of business, whom you work for, where you're employed.
Yes.
And then asked your bosses or your supervisors to punish you or take action, persecute you or whatever.
Yes, the top guy at the company, head guy.
Okay.
That's absurd.
Can we get a copy of that that letter?
Oh, sure.
Please, can you email it to us at carol@carolcox.com?
Yes, I will send it to you. And you know, it came down then through the VPs, and they talked to me, and they said, feel free to write her back, because they totally support what I'm doing. And it's mm-hmm. after hours. They have nothing to do with what I do.
And this was
and
on
I
the street.
And I did write her back.
This
and
was
I,
on the
instead, I told her, you know, instead of addressing one person feeding, you should be looking at the problem and trying to help address the problem. And I gave her a link to a bunch of no-kill sites.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I got no response.
Right.
Well, I guess that explains why she didn't answer my letter either.
Well, you know, and I had her to Ms. Kobayashi too, that because the Humane Society was penciled in as the only entity that could receive contracts at one time, and I thought that was improper, you know, because if it was contractual, we should be able to let anybody compete for these services, right? To get, but when was this? When did this occur?
This occurred in March.
Of this year.
Yes.
And so what it, she never responded back to you once you wrote. And where was this area you were feeding in? Wait, let me clarify. Not feeding, trapping and neutering and then feeding. I don't want to, someone say, see there, he said feeding. Now, there are people that just drive by and feed, and we need to address those people too, but on another show.
Yes, true. I do all of that. Mm-hmm. And this is down on Sheridan Street near the Walmart, that
mm-hmm.
area.
Mm-hmm. So she wrote, and you're on the city street, and she wrote to your boss of your company.
Boss's boss's boss.
Now, why? I mean, how did she know who you were and where you worked?
Well, in the letter it says someone named, and I'll go ahead and quote it. I'm not afraid to be known. Someone named Donna was feeding cats. And there's people that I do talk to that I know, but so.
And she didn't give you.
The people at work know that I feed cats.
Right. But how did Ann Kobayashi, you know, I mean.
Well, that's evidently a constituent complained to her.
Okay. And gave her all the information of who your bosses were, what company.
Well, they know, I don't know how they know where I worked. But it's right there where I work.
Right.
So
wow.
Maybe I had one of my bags from the employer or something.
Wow. I wonder what they'd do if you were feeding people.
I know.
Throw you in the hoosegow.
You wouldn't be calling the show. I'd tell you, you probably had no fingers left. They'd pluck your fingernails out. Oh, that's Abercrombie. I'm sorry. That's not Abercrombie, not Kobayashi. I got them mixed up. Yeah. But anyway, isn't that funny? But like I say, that's real. That conveys the same message I said earlier. People, and this wasn't staged. I don't know you from Annie. Correct? I've never spoken to you. And
correct.
So the climate and atmosphere of intimidation, and here's an example.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's terrible, too, out there. I mean, I've had the police called on me I don't know how many times. I had a woman from her porch. She's throwing handfuls of ice cubes at me while I'm trying to feed cats. I mean, it's ridiculous what we go through out there.
And you trap and neuter and release, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I got into an argument kind of with a woman because she's getting on my case for this, and I'm like, what are you people doing about it? You're doing nothing for your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
And all they do is walk away.
Right, yeah. And the government does nothing, and it's these caregivers who are dedicating all of these hours and all of this money to this and getting nothing but guff.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well.
And this raise, this $25, is really going to hurt. It really is.
But they spoke as if it was going to enhance the program and more people. I don't get it. You charge more and more will come to have neutered. While $5 was restrictive in many instances, and also you had to pay if your cat was there, correct? Stayed over a couple of hours or what have you?
Yeah, or like me, sometimes I'll do a walk-in because I caught a cat, you know, and I didn't have it scheduled, and then you have to pay $20 on top of that. But, you know, it's worth it to get the cat fixed once in a great while, but not $25 every time I have a cat.
Now, I was told them the idea is because they instituted this tagging and chipping, microchipping, so that the cat caretakers could be easily contacted and they could participate in managing these and help you be more efficient. Now, what if a cat is run over by a car or injured? And it has your chip assigned to you. Can you share with us what is there a cost associated with that if you take that cat to have him euthanized at the Humane Society, or if you take that cat to a veterinarian? Does it cost you anything?
Well, that I don't know. I do know I have taken cats. What I do is I also trap kittens, and I find kittens' homes. Mm-hmm. And the reason I started doing that is because once I brought them to the Humane Society, and they took them, and then I asked them their policy on euthanasia, and they told me if they're under 2 pounds, they euthanize them. So I started finding cats' homes because I don't want them euthanized. I mean, everybody out there's so many people that want kittens. So that's what I do with kittens. I find them homes. Now, I do get sick kittens, and I take them to vets, and it costs me a lot. I just took one this week, and the poor thing was really, really sick. It's doing better now, but it cost me over $120, and that was with getting the exam free. That was just medicine and stuff.
Yeah, it's a real problem, and it's not. I don't like to speak from a posture of paranoia, but I can tell you that it's one of the saddest sights because you have the government saying, "Well, you can't feed the cats," and then they eat birds and they destroy the habitat. But, you know, The habitat at Walmart, for example, is not inviting to Nene's and EVs and Apapanis and all of those other birds. It's gone. But you still have the cats there. So you would think that the government would be involved and encourage this kind of, rather than scold you, write your boss a letter to get you fired and or call the police on you, have you arrested, and then walk away and go, there, we taught her a lesson, and the cat population still grows.
That's really troubling to me that Ann Kobayashi would do that because, you know, she's been around a long time, and people I know, including myself, have given her information on mm-hmm. trap-neuter release mm-hmm. and the importance of this program and what how it helps the community, too. It's not only for cats. It helps people as well. And, you know, for her now to just sort of regress to this, it's shocking.
It's terrible.
Yeah. But please, if you don't mind, send us a copy as soon as you can of your letter. And you wrote her back?
I did.
And she didn't respond back, huh?
No response.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's just about right.
Well, maybe we can recruit her now as becoming, because she can't run again, and hopefully she's,
yeah,
you know,
thank goodness.
And then the mayor and whatever, maybe she has her sights on Congresswoman or whatever, you never know, but maybe she will deep down inside rethink this and get on the wagon and help us all. But thank you, and please send that letter if you would, please. And
I will.
To share that with the public. And
I will. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Alrighty. Well, I don't know. You know, there's a thousand and one answers. Me personally, as I say, and I keep saying this, it troubles me to see a non-native species in the environment. But it also troubles me to know that there's nothing out there to take care of to address this.
Right.
Nothing. And it's humans that cause the problem.
Yes.
You know, you got one set of humans on this side going, well, those people are weird and they're crazy and they're kooks and they're spending all their money and they're raising, they got cat farms and look what they're doing. But they won't speak to you. They won't talk to you. They ignore you, even when you try to be intellectually sensible and respond to them, they ignore you.
Yes, and just really quickly, we tried earlier this year to work with the Carlisle administration through Louise Kim McCoy mm-hmm. to get a formal written policy established by the city for dealing with feral cats on city properties because of the Pearl City Yard that we discussed on a previous mm-hmm. show. And that went absolutely nowhere.
Well, we're going to have you hang around for the next second hour, and we'll talk a bit about this and finish it up. But thank you for joining us in the first hour of the Carol Cox Show. At carol@carolcox.com is the email, or carolcox.com. 524-1080 is the number. Call us. Share your thoughts. If you don't agree with the TNR, share with us what can be done. I'm open. If there's a better program or another program, I'd like to participate in that too. But we'll be right back, and thank you.
I know a place. Play your
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. Again, we're going to talk a little bit briefly and move on to some other subjects, but we'll come back to this later. Again, Pam Davis is here in the studio with me. We're talking TNR, trap, neuter, release of cats, and the problems that some of the caregivers, as the people that provide care for them and participate in the trap, neuter program. And as we left you, we were going to talk about, there's a resolution that I had mentioned earlier, and let's go through that resolution just a bit, just to share with the public. It was introduced, by the way, this is resolution 10-262-CD1.
Yes.
And it was introduced by?
Ann Kobayashi.
Right, Councilwoman Ann Kobayashi. And they all voted for it. Right?
Yes.
Tam, Okino, Kachola, Apo, Kobayashi, she had an A by her name.
So absent, probably.
Absent. Introduces it and then is absent. But, oh, I know, she was probably busy writing that letter to that lady's boss.
That's true.
I see. More things important, you know, introduce it, move, and go get rid of anybody that... But being facetious here, I like Ms. Kobayashi, but... The what about that section where it speaks about caregivers?
Well,
in the resolution,
this resolution is entitled "Urging the Administration to Award a New Lease for That Certain Parcel of Land, etc." and to cancel the existing lease for the parcel. So this is at the Humane Society property. And what bothers me about this is that it seems to be reverting back to, remember when the contract, there were ordinances that specified the name Hawaiian Humane Society as the city's animal control contractor, so that no one else could even possibly try to get the contract. Remember that, Carol?
Yeah, because I'm the one who approached Ms. Kobayashi have that stricken.
Yes. Well, what bothers me about this rezzo now, and this is just last year, they're again inserting the Hawaiian Humane Society. And they even say, whereas the indenture of lease specifies that the lease can only be canceled if both the city and county of Honolulu and the Hawaiian Humane Society agree to terminate the lease, whereas the Hawaiian Humane Society is in need of multi-million-dollar construction and renovations to its animal care facilities. And so anyway, that's troublesome to me personally.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, so they all were introducing it September 13th, 2010. So they get a free ride, so to speak. Or, I mean, if we're going to give them the free rent, or, you know, we own the land, they own the building, maybe
right.
The cat caretakers would probably, as this gentleman has said, organize something and, as taxpayers, use the land for their purposes.
Right.
It serves the community better.
Right. It's just that there's so much intimidation, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew of the intimidations and I'd heard of them, but I didn't know they write your boss and
well,
have
that,
him fired.
That is really incredible.
Wow. I mean, how does that work?
Unbelievable. Yeah, it's quite amazing.
Go ahead, caller. You have a comment or question.
Good morning, Carol. My comment is, it's curious and annoying at the same time that this councilwoman cares more about people walking around with cell phones in their hands than she does innocent, living, breathing creatures.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that lady called in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it once you see it, I mean, I've adopted two cats myself, and I was taking them, trapped them. They were infected with URI, and I mean, it was a sad sight to see. No medication, and their eyes, they go blind.
Yes, they do.
And I just couldn't, so I'm driving along and taking him to the Humane Society, and then he reaches through the trap and grabs my leg as I'm driving, and I'm thinking, and he looks up, and I'm thinking, oh, God, okay, we go home.
Yeah, that's right. You adopted me.
You know, so, yeah, you're right. It is a living creature. Well, I won't even call it a creature. A living entity,
being,
right?
Being, a being, yeah.
I was the owner and caretaker of up to seven. One I found down at the old Kiwala Basin,
mm-hmm.
which was originally McWayne Marine Supply, and the employees down there, I drove down there one day and saw this cat, and I, you know, I just liked him, and the people told me they had nicknamed him Plate Lunch. And anyway, I took him home, but I renamed him Sylvester because he looked like, you know, Sylvester and Tweety Bird.
He has a tuxedo, huh?
Yeah, he had his little black tuxedo. And then later, I found a cat in my backyard. After 2 days, he kept crying real weakly, and finally I realized where he was, and I brought him in, and he's been with me. He's my last one of the seven mm-hmm. that has lived. And he's 19 years old now.
Wow.
And that's my rugby boy.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, you know, isn't it funny? I think the most masterful of thinkers are cats. They can grab anybody's hearts. I don't care who you are. Even if you're allergic to them, you could find a soft spot, and they seem to worm their way and grab hold, and it's over. You're stuck.
And, Carol, it's no wonder some of the greatest authors and people, you know, in history have loved cats, always had cats. Hemingway, there's so many others, but you never adopt them, they adopt you.
Right. Hemingway talks about cats, too, here in Hawaii, remember?
Right.
Yeah, and so it's something, Mark Twain and those guys.
That's right, Mark Twain. Mahitabel.
Right, but Hemingway, I saw a little piece. Someone sent me, you know how they sent an email or something, and there's a little quote of someone, and it talked about he had some comment about cats, and it was very positive. You live and you learn, and I don't think, well, I can say this. If there's anybody out there want to debate the issues, that cats are not native to Hawaii. So therefore, everything that is here, we are responsible for it. Because we were reckless. If they're in the wild, we were reckless. Or we are neglecting a responsibility, because if we have pets, things happen, right?
Well, that my third cat that adopted me down at Ainahaina Foodland, I brought home, but before I could get her fixed, she went off for a couple of days and later presented me with five beautiful kittens. I gave away one, and I kept the other four, and they all lived with me till they all passed away.
That confirms what I said. See how they'll bring them and warm their way into your heart, and you're stuck.
Well, Carol, I'm so glad that the topics that you bring to your show are just really great.
Well, I'm hoping it serves as a purpose of just letting people talk and getting it. You know, there are certain things will never be addressed, and they just won't bring listeners and give you ratings. But we don't care about ratings. If you know, we want people to be informed, and there are sensitive issues out there.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, thank you.
I wanted to mention that I did get one response to one inquiry that I sent, and I want to say that Janelle Sanaishi, the public information officer at the Hawaii Department of Agriculture, got back to us that same day.
Mm-hmm.
We had asked her whether or not the Department of Ag does any animal control activities such as trapping of cats, and they do not. However, we did not hear from DLNR. We did not hear from, and I know that DLNR has been involved in it. And we also contacted, as I said, the City Council and the State Department of Health. And nobody in the government outside of the Department of Ag even bothered to answer us. And that's troubling, too. Like I said, we had really high hopes that we could get a policy instituted for the city and county of Honolulu. We felt we were close. We really had momentum going, that we might actually be able to do this, so that in the future, if feral cats are found on properties owned by the city and county, that there wouldn't be another incident like at the Pearl City Refuge Yard, mm-hmm. where 10 cats were trapped and then taken down to the Humane Society and killed. We hoped that the Carlisle administration would be proactive and not just follow in the footsteps of all the previous administrations, but he is. He's just following. He's not doing a darn thing. Louise Kim McCoy dropped the ball. It's sad, but we're not getting the kind of response that we would hope for from our government.
Yeah, that's, what's next for the cats, I guess. It's not a perfect world out there.
It is not.
And it can never be, because there's so many reasons that a cat end up in the wild. And as we've touched on a few, but I've known where a party, a senior citizen dies,
mm-hmm.
or an individual, doesn't have to be a senior citizen, and that cat is an outdoor, indoor cat, and it leaves, and the family comes and take care of the matters and all, but they never address the cat. So what happens to the cat?
Right.
You know, and not all of them out there are breeding, you know, so mm-hmm. it presents a problem no matter what, and But the biggest problem that we have with cats, and I restate this, is that the people that are responsible for managing the, quote, natural resources and the health issues only respond to those that have similar degrees and have similar desires to suck money from the government's trough through grants and alien species and what have you, you know. I know a great many of the caretakers out there, if they had that $5.4 million that we see given to alien species that come on TV and tell us, oh, the cats are eating us out of house and home, but then they got to hire students, they got to study it, they got to find out if this poison worked, if that poison worked, they can't afford the traps and what have
you. It's just a black hole for money.
Right. And if anybody want to take me on and debate alien species, I would say, first of all, just Google Carol Cox alien species, or it would be Special Agent Carol Cox, and go back there and you'll see. And even with the snakes now, I mean, oh, another snake. You know, I used to see snakes here, and it was me who came and said, you know, why are you allowing snakes and scorpions and everything to be sold across the counter in pet shops?
Right.
Why are you having an amnesty program? Why are you sending people seizing and having the HPD seizing animals when, in fact, all you're going to do is never prosecute them?
Yeah, you know? It sends a message, well, there's no amnesty, so if I get caught,
right,
you know, nothing's going to happen.
Where's the DLNR? Where's Ann Kobayashi for writing an email going, well, you know, dangerous, snakes are dangerous. They can choke and swallow a baby and what have you. Why don't you see emails like that?
Look what happened in Guam.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, I personally witnessed that, where the baby is attempted, snake attempts to ingest the baby's arm, you know, the brown tree snake. But all of that brings me back to this, though. That's why I actively participate and support this, because there's nothing else out there. You know, at the Kaneohe Marine Base, they have an aggressive program that they actually trap the cats in. And I'm not taking issue with that, because there's a colony up there. They're ground nesting birds and all of that. But then when we turn around and say, well, the people feeding at Walmart or in the parks are wrong, and we ban them and we tell the police to chase them out or cite them, and then you don't do anything, let's go to Sand Island, Department of Parks and Recreation. They don't have an active program of trapping.
No, there's an explosion of cats population, though.
And again, and these cats, some of them, but what happens is that you get people that comes along. There's a couple of people that go out there and take care of that, managing what little they can do, and feeding them, trapping them, neutering them, so they can't have any babies. I personally participated in trapping some, I'm going to say maybe 28 cats there. Mm-hmm. Now, some probably go, ooh, see, there's proof there's overpopulation. Well, if I didn't get involved with others, then there'd be more.
Right, and you're filling in a puka that the government is not handling.
Oh, they're handling it, chasing away and threatening to arrest the caregivers. You know, I've often visualizing this the scene where there's this little lady at black of midnight standing out there with cats in a trap, and you got the game wardens drawn down on her with their fully automatic Glocks and what have you, with blue eyes, you know, night vision scopes, saying, ma'am, you know you're threatening the environment here. These endangered species that you know, are threatened.
Yeah.
The only thing that's endangered at Sand Island is the people that lay out there in that filthy landfill that they got with the contaminants. That's who's really threatened. There's no endangered species out there.
Yeah.
Other than the monk seal and the turtle.
In the water.
But yeah. Then we got to be careful, because they'll say, yeah, but the cats cause the tumors on the turtles. And then the cats causes the plasmosis causes a problem with the monk seal. And then they walk away. See, we told them, and was that a good press release? Yes, it was. You see, we care about the environment. But on the other hand, oh, we're putting in a cooling system for downtown and going to use deep, fresh water. And let's just lay the pipes across here. And, oh, there are no endangered species out there. What? You just said the cats pose a threat at Sand Island to the monk seals, but now you're saying it's okay to put the pipes there from the cooling system because there are no endangered species there.
Well, yeah, because money is involved. Money.
you know, we went out there to look at some land use issues, if you recall, and there's a monk seal laying right there where they want to take the pipes and place the pipes. But again, I'm sharing that with the listeners. This is a nonsense. They care about the environment, but on the other hand, they'll beat the snot out of a little old lady and gun her down if they had to. God forbid if she resists.
Yeah, and the ironic thing is that these people are providing a public service at no cost to the taxpayers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a win-win situation, and it's getting back to this Humane Society thing. It's really concerning that now with all of these additional fees and restriction of hours and traps, unavailability of traps in the numbers that they need. I know a feral cat caretaker who's very successful and has been doing it for many years. And this person actually told me that if they were to begin now with these new very restrictive rules and more costs, they would fail.
Oh, yeah. They're going to fail anyway.
So, you know, that's troubling.
Yeah. But again, I didn't hear from any groups out there that are filling in the pukas for this. But if you are, send me an email and we'll get your name up there so that whatever little we can. And again, I have, speaking of cats, I have a beautiful cat female that's neutered or spayed. I'm sorry. Whoa, spayed. And she, we call her Maggie, and Calico, beautiful disposition. If anybody's out there looking for a friend, but I don't think you can beat this one. I'll put my name on it.
Yeah, she's very cute.
She's awesome. And you can see a picture of it, Carol at carolcox.com. So don't hold back. You know, help that cat or whatever.
Kitty needs a home, a good home.
Yeah.
A permanent, forever home.
But anyway, the one of the things is when you – the cats come in, for example, like me, I call up and I learn that the fee is going to go up. But what happens is that you don't know what's going to take place the next day, all of the constraints and what have you.
Well, like I say, the way that the response from the Humane Society was worded, they say rather than eliminate the program altogether. So, in other words, that was at least thought of, and it was on the table, I guess. You know, that's scary.
Well, I would look over this as being just a normal process of doing business and the cost of living and the cost of operating. But were it not for the fact that they've made this a flagship and of their fundraisers and their programs and touted it and claimed they are working with the caregivers and sanctioned this program for many years, I can only hearken back to the occasion that I called down and they said, well, we're not doing any spay-neuters this month. Because we seized puppies from the puppy mill, so we don't have time.
I see.
We don't have the resources. So imagine, like any other thing that is unpredictable, how do you work with it? How do you incorporate it into your life cycle? How do you do anything with it if one moment you pick up the phone and the rules change?
Right.
There is no transition. This is the problem I have with it. I can't tell the Hawaiian Humane Society what they can and can't because they know what is needed. They know what the funding requirements are. They know all of that. But having and being a participant in this program, it was stripped layer by layer like an onion.
Yes.
And I was never informed. The only time I'm informed is when I try to participate the following month. So I'd have to wait 30 days or so before I find the new route.
Right. It's difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
So if it were not for those facts that in the Humane Society, and I do know that they tell us how much profit they have and how much cash they have on hand annually. If you looked at their 990s, you look at their salaries, I'm not engaging in throwing rocks at them, but if we are the Hawaiian Humane Society You know, maybe you should leave the, and this is the national and everybody else, and leave the greater issues and deal with the real issues here that you've lassoed these people in, lull them in, and call them the responsible, or
the unsung heroes.
The unsung hero.
Yeah.
And so and anyway.
It's a successful program.
Yeah.
Why do you want to sabotage it? Why do you want to do that?
Yeah.
You know?
And why would you write a letter to the people's boss?
Oh, well, that. That's
you imagine?
Yeah, no.
You in this economy, you could lose your job, your livelihood, because a city councilman picked up the phone at the whim of what?
I don't know, but she knows better. She's been provided with that information on TNR, the success of the program, what these people provide to the citizens of the state, and yet she still does something like that? It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, I can only remember her standing on stage telling Mufi Hanneman how a bully he was, and then I'm thinking, wow, I don't. What do you call a lady?
A non-confrontational bully, because she does it, you know, sort of non-confrontationally.
Can females be bullies?
I think
no,
so.
I'm just teasing.
Now,
watch the phone rings and go, you bigot, you. but no, I mean, it's unthinkable.
It is. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah. But we're not going to let this one go, and hopefully I think everybody will come to their senses if they just stand back. Like the gentleman said, he's taking from a higher, viewing it from a higher level. And I think that's what we need. But those that are in the trenches
need to stand up.
Well, not only that, what are they going to do now?
I don't know, but I mean, if you're really scared to say anything because you're afraid you're going to be ostracized, well, maybe at that point in time we have to say things are not, we can't do this way. You know, we have to do something. We have to speak up.
Yeah. Well, the reason they get involved, one, they tell me because they love animals. Two, it's the right thing to do. And three, it's a living being, the cat. Those three things was sufficient enough elements to influence their involvement, and it sucked them in, so to speak, in a good way, to get involved and make sacrifices and spend their hard-earned money and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem. Once you get to the crossroads, when the human element gets introduced to it and threats and whatever, then you put yourself first. What about that compassion?
Well, that's a good point.
Right. So then
point.
We become the same participants as those that are projecting on us the problems, that are interfering, that are doing nothing, hands off, and scolding you for doing anything. If we succumb to that, then I think that silence and being fearful simply contributes to that. I mean, either put yourself first or put the cats first. Or put right and wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I have the highest admiration, really, for the feral cat caretakers. They're selfless people. But, you know, if you're going to be intimidated by the Humane Society, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work.
Yep. So think of the 420,000 kittens that could be born from one cat while you're worried about someone not allowing you to come on the property,
right,
or not renting your cage again,
right,
or not allowing you to participate in the spay-neuter program. Putting people first or putting yourself first and then getting involved. So once you get involved, just stand up if you believe in your conviction. So anyway, those of you that would like to talk about this or send an email, I'll keep you quiet if you'd like to, but I encourage you to speak up. And there's nothing they can do to you other than have your city councilman write your letter, write your boss a letter. Anyway, we're going to come back here shortly, and just briefly, we're going to talk about changing tracks here and changing subjects. You know, last week I talked about the Corporation Council withholding documents and then lying about it and saying they don't have them, they don't exist. I sound like a broken record every Sunday, but this town just is swarming with thugs, liars, and cheats who supposedly are our leaders. And I'm going to share with you yet another situation that I don't know how we'll describe it, and I'll let you see it, and then we're going to show you just a little insight and introduction, and we're going to do greater in-depth on this program called Personal Services Basic Contract Employee Contracts. That means, in other words, this is a way a politician, the mayor or of the city and county of Honolulu, can pay his minions off while they're supposedly doing contractual work that goes unmanaged and undocumented and just whatever, unimaginable that they would get away with it. But we'll be back shortly, and just hold your seats there. Play that for one of many reasons. In this town, believe it or not, there are people that will orchestrate and put people in place that to interfere with your right to participate in public meetings, to be disruptive. And a case in point, I want you to go to YouTube and Google Kurt Favela, K-U-R-T. First name, last name, Favela, F-E-V-E-L-L-A. And you'll see that City Councilman Tom Berg and others out in Ever Beach had many problems with this. So you'll know I haven't spoken to Mr. Berg about this. This is a continuation on trying to share with you real live examples of why when you read, like today in the paper, it says that Mufi Hanneman has a great position and a great chance, and he's postured himself in a good position there to reach up and elevate himself to the next level of congressman. I want you to be reminded and equipped with, remember, the honey trucks that's going to be hauling the sewage are a product of his. The corruption that we see in government is a product of his. The abuse of community benefit packages and grants, a product of his. So don't blame me if you send him on up the ladder. It's up to you, and I can only say just take a sniff of the air in the next coming weeks, and I think you probably will tell him where to go. But anyway, and I don't think it'll be the Congress. But again, and I want, you know, to share with all of you out there, I think you need to expand your horizons, and I'm going to share with you, start reading, and it's not a must, but just to spread it out, and yes, it's the Hawaii Free Press, hawaiifreepress.com. Start going there. Now, yes, they write a lot about the Democrats and what they're doing wrong, but if it's factual, why should you care? It's just educational. The HawaiiReporter.com, Malir Zimmerman, they didn't ask me. This isn't an agreement, but I'm doing this because, you see, we don't have any checks and balances anymore in our government. These guys do whatever the heck they want to do. And the only time they'll ever really be called on the carpet is when the legislators themselves are personally impacted. See, Ikaika Anderson now can't wake up and smell the coffee anymore. He's going to be waking up and smelling the poop, you see. So, he's ready to talk now, but he's been getting calls from me and his office. I've been sharing him about Senegro and the whole group of them. But welcome to our world, legislators and city councilmen, you know. This is going to be a big hit. So anyway, I want to share with you more specifically. Caller, go ahead. You got to comment a question? Got to comment a question quickly?
Yes, on the tankage, or the honey wagon. I wish you would start running, put a tab on the amount of money, because they say only 3 loads a day in 50,000 gallons. Is that what the figures they're going to move from one place to the other?
I don't know. They know there's, I don't.
No, I read that in the, I don't know if that figures, I think it was 50,000 gallon trucks. I just wish somebody would do a running tab just on the diesel fuel, time spent for the operator and the equipment, depreciation. I bet you we're going to talk some millions of dollars to move poop from poop water, really, from one place to another.
Yeah.
It just sounds,
yeah.
Somebody ought to, this is a criminal offense against us.
Well,
the sewer system over there is so, it's pretty big to explode. And when I get the sewer system around, I had to leave at the, I go, this.
Yeah, Bob, you lost. We lost connection with you there. Anyway, if he joins us back, what I want to share with you is that I came across some information where Kirk Favela, who was a neighborhood board, and he also ran for a house out there in Congress, or house of state house, and in Eva Beach. And just curious, I looked at some of those YouTube videos and how he conducted the meetings, and I understand that he resigned because it was taken before the commission, neighborhood board commission. But what really struck me is that upon looking closer, I find out that Kurt Favela is hired under a personal services contract with the city and county of Honolulu. So he's really not an employee, but he's a contractor, and he's the guy supposedly was hired to go around and inspect the cans that and the trash that you put out and take some action if you put it out too early. Remember that process? But I find out that back in 2009 he had a contract. Now, and these contracts, are, for example, it says one of them says that the provided and in no event shall the total amount of the salary exceeds the sum of $31,212 from July 1 to 2010 to June 30th, 2011, as an inspector per month, $2,601. I'm going to follow up on a great many of these, and what I've learned is that this is how politicians pay their friends, you do a lot of work for them, and they need you to come down and testify, but you need to be free and able to go there and interrupt meetings and what have you. So they put a little money in your pocket, and as a contractor, and it appears that, not saying that this is what happened to Mr. Favela, but it is curious that he was pro-rail and spoke out quite often in his capacity, and were at some of the events and wherever the time came for a resident to speak on behalf of the rail. But here, this is the funny part. So I get a bit of information that informs me that on June 6th, there was a letter generated of 2011 telling Mr. Favela that his contract basically was, let's see, I look at my notes here, the services will be terminated, and it will become effective June 30th, 2011. This is as an inspector. And the reason the party that informed me of this was that it was due to tardiness, absenteeism. And it exceeded 45 days, his absenteeism. Now, as an inspector. Now, I don't know what he was doing with that time, but so I wrote a letter, and I inquired of the city folks information on this. I wanted specifics. And I asked the question, did you terminate his contract? Well, they wrote me back and said, no, they didn't cancel his contract. Not at all. Didn't happen. And they also said that he was still working. Now, if he was still working, how could he have a contract? Well, we don't know. But they told me that the contract was never canceled. So, you know me, I always take no for an answer. And I continue to pursue this, and I contacted Marcus Owen and informed him that, wait, there's a lie being told here. I know that someone has informed me that there's this letter, and they even gave me the reply number where, you know, in our office, there's a reply number that you refer to. And Mr. Owens, I asked, why? He's a public relations person for the Environmental Services, by the way. I asked Owens, why didn't you folks provide me that letter? Well, his explanation was the Corporation Council didn't want us to. We said that we didn't have to release that. Imagine that. This is the same Corporation Council that I told you last week lied through the teeth and withheld documents and said that certain documents don't exist. But now all of a sudden they're back, so they learn well, huh? So just by chance, while speaking to Owens, I'm there at the City Hall to look at records, and I bump into Steinberger and his deputy, Manny. I ask, why didn't I get a copy of that letter? Steinberg confirmed that the letter existed, that he did, in fact, write the letter, but he would check into it. But at the same time, the Corporation Council is advising the city they don't have to release the letter. And the letter is what I told you that I had been informed of, that the letter said, was that Favela's contract was terminated because, as of the January 4th, 2010 contract, by the way, was terminated because it was he was absent for more than 45 days. So, first of all, how did he get that contract? And then I asked, then if you cancel it, why did you lie to me and tell me you didn't cancel it? So he's now, they pencil in a new contract for him as of June 30th, 2011. So when you look at this, folks, this is how it gives you an insight. Once again, strategy by our future Congressman, Mufi Hanneman. Hire anyone to do your dirty work, if I might say that. And you do that by possibly using the personal contract. And how do you arrive at that, to say that the personal contract is given to people? Well, in doing so, now, I don't want to just stick with Mr. Favela in this instance, but I want to show you how this thing worked. I also learned that there's a gentleman by the name of Ito, last name is Ito, and he too has one of these contracts. And he then has the contract, and his wife, and this may be just coincidental, his wife, by the way, is just, she is the employee of the City and County of Honolulu Environmental Services, and that's just so happened to be the department that give this personal contract to Favela and her husband. Now, how do you suppose that happened? Is this the way? I don't know what Mr. Ito does. It could be just a legitimate, bona fide, and same as Mr. Favela. It may be bona fide and all, and it may not be. I don't know. But the point is that Mr. Favela was quite active, and if you look at YouTube, just go there and Google his name, and you'll see some of the issues that were brought up. Miss Kimberly Pine, state representative, she filed a complaint back in 2009 on some of this regarding the behavior of Mr. Favela in these events where, and there's this name, Patty Terulia, popped up that was handling these affairs. And as in the article on Hawaii Reporter in 2009, September 1, was that she says, Ms. Pine says, the next day, city employee Patty Terulia sent a copy of the official Ever Sunset on the Plains flyer select area residents via city email. The flyer included promotion for Friends of Favela. Now, again, this isn't to say Mr. Favela has done anything wrong. I'm just saying that he's a recipient of personal contracts. And in this day and age, I will assure you, the way it's played in this, the city and county of Honolulu did not fully vet everyone and announce this so everybody can compete. Wouldn't you like to have a $31,000 job? They go around and look at trash cans and make sure that people put their trash out at the right time in the right place. I think I would be. But, again, the bigger point is that the City and County of Honolulu Corporation Council engaged in advising them to cover up something that was quite obvious. So they in essence, told the Environmental Services Department to not release this letter, and I only knew that they wouldn't release it because I knew of the letters that had existed. And by challenging them, I forced them to acknowledge that it did exist. So that satisfies my purpose. I don't really need a copy of the letter. Steinberger confirmed that he did, in fact, write the letter. It did, in fact, contain the concerns of the absenteeism. Is that a violation of Favela's personnel rights? I don't know, because he's a contractor. Does contractors have the same rights as when they don't perform? And the taxpayer, does the taxpayer have a right to see why a contract was canceled? I think we do. But again, the City Corporation Council think that we do not have that right. So it's a bigger story than this, but so you have one, the husband of one accountant that works for the Environmental Services, whose husband gets this job. And then you have Mr. Favela, and his goal back from December, so he's, there's an agreement. This agreement is made the 31st day of December 2009, and it would be from January 4th, the city commencing as of January 4th, 2010 to June 30th, 2010. So he's already, and that, not to exceed the sum of $15,000. So there's some big bucks here when you consider what the taxpayer is getting for their money. And I don't know if this afforded Mr. Favela the opportunity to be free to rise to the occasion and go out and speak at the pro-rail issues, and or to – I don't know. And I attempted to call and talk to Mr. Favela to interview him, and no response. The numbers that I did call, they wanted to know why I wanted to talk to him, who was I, and where did I get the number from. So this is the kind of response you get. But I will still keep looking at this. But there's one says not to exceed $31,000. Another one talks about $15,000. And another one is $7,000. He has a new contract, by the way, that they claim was never canceled. Starts July 1, 2011. So even after I had raised this issue with them and asked the questions, and they wrote and told me a lie that they didn't cancel it, which was confirmed by Steinberger and others by saying they're withholding this letter. Very smart people, by the way. I'm trying to figure out an award to give them for being brilliant on one hand and dumb as a stick on the other. But that's okay. We'll work that out. I'm going to go to Toys R Us and find some kind of toy that would reward such behavior. But meantime, you and I as taxpayers, it's not a laughing matter. It's nothing to play with. And in these times, it just simply say that we are broke. And you see why we're broke? Because the personal services contracts that exist out there. And I didn't see these announcements on the list to go out and announce. I didn't, when they knew that his contract, for example, Favela's contract would expire, then, and they had canceled it, I didn't see any announcement in the magazines or papers saying that it is critical and we can't find anybody that is so unique that can go out and inspect trash cans. I didn't see that. And that is one of the criteria, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, when you find that these things can't be done by others, that in your force, you can have the right to go out there. So I'm sharing this story with you to enlighten you that this is how you can see certain people at certain meetings and you wonder, wow, when do you ever go to work? Well, you as a mayor, and I'm sure that and there are others, and I'm going to be making a request of them, these contracts, and find out who, what cadre or what army of people that exist out there that are being paid. And it happens on both sides of the aisle, by the way, so don't think that. But in this instance, it was important that we try and bring some of this attention. And again, I'm going to post the questions that I sent to the city, and I'm going to post the letter that I wrote back to the city and Mr. Owens. And again, you know, he's just doing his job. He's a spokesperson. That way, see, the reason they use spokespeople is that a spokesperson has no attachments, and a spokesperson can stand there and have no emotional attachment to it or anything invested. But a real city employee who lies till you can't look you in the eye and tell your lie straight. So that's why I'm learning they have public relations people, because they just can't look you straight in the eye and admit that there's some misdeeds occurring within government. And that's what one of the contributing factors, you and I are opening our mailbox and finding bigger tax bills, bigger sewage bills, and on and on and on. And then you open up the papers, and we're promised that these same people that have put these practices in place potentially will be our congressmen. So just remember, if you lose your home and what have you, you can always call on your former mayor, and he probably has a room and up there at the hotels, and he'll leave the light on for you. So we'll talk to you later and see you next week.